Welcome back to another episode of Couch Show Unplugged. Danielle here, I'm here, and Ryan is stopping by to talk some Serie A with us. How are you guys doing this afternoon, evening?
Great, because Real Madrid saved football from a terrible final.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get to the Champions League stuff at the end. But, you know, we usually start with one of the bigger teams. But tonight I want to start actually at the bottom of the Serie A table. Salernitana getting a 1-1 draw with Atalanta. Atalanta scored at the end of that game to take the 3 points from them. They're now 2 points from safety, and they have a game in hand tomorrow against Venezia, who is at the bottom of the table. The great escape is on. They were, I think, 14 odd points from safety, and now their schedule is favorable for them to survive. So whoever wants to go first, just speak on this situation. Go ahead.
Look, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Look, I'll be honest. I usually root for your guys' teams to win, as much as I like to give Inter a hard time. But, man, Elliot, on April 10th, I was really hoping that you guys would have lost that game to them. Because, look, no matter what anybody says, Leicester City had so much quality, it was ridiculous. They just didn't have a proper organization or a proper manager until Ranieri stepped in. This would be the greatest escape in football history. I mean, first of all, look, and you all know I'm more of an EPL guy, but I usually know about two or three players in every team. Whenever I look up their roster, I've never heard of half these guys. It sounds like their names sound like they could be playing at a pub league. You know, I mean, look, seriously. And, you know, Cagliari, how long have they been in Serie A?
Oh, a long time.
This will be one of the greatest collapses to get relegated in the history. Not only would this be a great one of the worst collapses in football history, it would also be combined with the Great Escape. Because, like I said, I know nobody on this team, but whenever I watch their matches, it excites me because you can tell they're playing together and they just want to stay up.
Yeah, and on that point, I know – let me think. I know two players on the team. I know Luigi Sepe, who's their goalkeeper, who came in January from Parma, but he's been in the league and is a veteran goalkeeper, been around a long time. And the other one I know is Federico Fazio. And the only reason I know Federico Fazio is because he played for Rome for a couple of years. Outside of that, there's a few I know. I know Verdi a little bit, but like from top to bottom, this team has a bunch of just very similar to Leicester, just a bunch of less talented players than most of the teams. If you look even at Cagliari, if you look at Venezia, if you look at Genoa, all of them have more quality as far as their particular roster than this team. And like you said, I mean, this will be incredible. I mean, to go 14 points from safety to actually surviving, and it's in their hands now. They win tomorrow. They're playing the team at the bottom of the table. They're safe. They're not safe, but they'll be out of the relegation zone. And then their final two games are very winnable. So this is truly remarkable. And again, we usually start with more significant games and stuff. But I thought the Atalanta Salernitana game was especially important. And this all stems back to the Roma game, where they were winning that game for 80 minutes. And then a couple of Roma players came off the bench and scored. But that was the moment I realized that if they keep the same energy with what they've done, you know, up to that point, and they kind of play that way the rest of the season, I thought there was a decent chance they would survive. I still didn't think it was possible, but I thought there was a chance just because of that. Danielle, what's your take on this?
I mean, we've been keeping up with this over the past few weeks, and we weren't sure. Obviously, there was a couple matches that we were kind of like reserved about them winning because of how successful those teams were. But they have been a team that has just literally found, like, lit that fire under their butts, as they say. And they have just exceeded our expectations so far. And if they manage to beat the Venezia tomorrow, tomorrow and their last two matches and can see Tagliari get those slip-ups, this escape was astronomical. Because we've been, Ryan, obviously you're not here every week, but me and Elliot have said this season in Serie A has been one of the more exciting seasons to watch because you have the title picture that is red hot. You've had the champions in the Europa League spot being like top notch. And then now even the relegation battle is like really heated up. Everything from top to bottom this season for Serie A has been immaculate. So, yeah, I mean, if Salernitana managed to win their last few matches and hopefully see those Cagliari slip-ups, I will be extremely excited to see them stay up next season.
Yeah.
And they play, don't forget they play Cagliari on a Sunday.
Yeah, so it's actually in their hands because so they have a game in hand right now. So they have a game back from Cagliari. They win tomorrow against Venezia. That's 3 points. They would be in front of Cagliari in the table. And then if the next this coming weekend they beat Cagliari, I think they can go 4 points clear of Cagliari in 17th. Obviously, it's easier said than done because, again, they don't have a great team, but they're playing well right now. And I just think they have – again, Atalanta's been dog shit at home. But for them to go there and get a point, I think, is remarkable. And they probably should have gotten three.
Yep, all right.
All right, moving on. We'll just run through this one real quick. This last weekend we saw the Derby Laurentina probably for the last time in a while. Genoa and Sampdoria have not obeyed my rules of they both have to be relegated or they both have to stay up. It does look like Genoa are heading to the bottom of the pot, going to be heading down to Serie B, especially considering Salernitana's form. I don't think it's possible. Genoa scrape a 1-0 win. They get a goal in the second half, and then their goalkeeper, Sampdoria's goalkeeper, saves a penalty at the end, which I don't know if it confirms their survival or confirms their relegation, but it more or less does. But I don't know. Personally, I think it's really sad because we won't see one of the – I think it's the oldest derby in Italy, and it's one of the oldest rivalries in football history. And, again, it's very underrated because neither of the teams are, like, really top-notch. But it's always a drama filled and there's always excitement there. And seeing that not be a part of it anymore, I think is a little sad. But what do you guys think about this?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's sad to see Genoa go down, especially since we lose that derby against Fiorentina. And the recently known as the what Danielle likes to call them just for giggles, the Delhi counter derby, Genoa Salami taking on Bologna. Man, that's going to be sad not seeing that, the Delhi counter derby either. But I mean.
Quick question, Danielle, quick question. Which two teams derailed Inter's title this season?
Yeah, you couldn't beat Bologna either. Yeah, you made it on the point, but you still couldn't beat them either. So shut.
Yeah, but you didn't throw away the title. I'm just messing with you. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I know you always mess with me. Now sit there and be quiet.
Continue what we're saying is what I'm saying.
I mean, overall, it's just sad to see that a team with such history and everything go down to Serie B. While Fiorentina, I do believe, is still pushing for Europa spots, I think.
Yeah, they're pushing for Europe in general. Europa League they've made it a little difficult for themselves lately, but they're still within range of finishing in the top six.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a tale of two teams at this point. One is bound for Serie B, and then the other one is vying for the European contention. Where normally we would see like Fiorentina and Genoa kind of finish.
No, Daniel, real quick. We're talking about Sampdoria.
Oh, my bad.
No, all good.
Okay. Scratch what I just said.
You're fine. You're fine.
But yeah, in general, I'm just speaking on that part. My brain just decided to go ADHD on me. But yeah, even then, Sampdoria is doing a great job, and hopefully they are able to do what is needed to finish wherever the just needs to reset for a minute.
It's fine. Ryan, from as an outsider, what are your thoughts on this derby not going to be happening?
Well, so. First of all, the match is rubbish. Other than that, Aguello's cross, I think his name's Sabri. I'll tell you what, that Aguello, yeah. The defender, he looks like quite the player.
He's very good.
Yeah, he looks like he could certainly be in a bigger club this summer. But look, I mean, this is the problem. This is my only problem with relegation. Could you imagine the Packers and Vikings not playing each other every year?
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
How sad would that be? I mean, think about this. Look, I wish it wasn't there. I wish Sampdoria would go down, honestly, because Sampdoria, they're an absolutely rubbish side. They've been rubbish the past – I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be brutal here. No, but they've been absolute rubbish the past 6 years. Look, I'd rather have teams that are always going to be in the bottom of the table that have no business in Serie A go down so we can see the derbies. That's just my opinion. It's like when West Ham was up in the Premier League, barely hanging on, were absolutely rubbish. I wish every year West Ham was rubbish, I wish they would have gone down to you so we could see the Millwall derby. But no, the football gods just seem to be angry sometimes. And for some reason, we're losing such a great derby.
Yeah, but the interesting part of the Genoa has some good players, and I think both, actually. Genoa are going to have some good players, and I think they're going to get poached. I certainly think that Sampdoria has players that will get poached as well. So I'm not saying next year. I think, depending how the summer goes, I could see Sampdoria joining them shortly. But at least for the time being.
I mean, they're absolute rubbish. Their record's better than what they are.
Yeah. But they have, like, really nice individual players. And I think players, like the one you mentioned, like Mikkel Damsgaard, I just don't think they want to be in their prime playing at the bottom half of the table. So,
yeah, why would you?
Exactly. All right. So, Danielle, obviously last week was a little heartbreaking considering the situation. You get the 2-1 win against Udinese, even though that penalty was just a complete dive. But I'm not going to get into that. I don't know exactly what to ask here, but what's your feeling now that you kind of got a 3 points following that disappointment?
Well, I think it was AC Milan who played first, or was it they played after us? I don't remember.
Yeah, we get to it. It's not important.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a good feeling to see us get back on those winning ways after that disappointment. It kind of still gives me hope that we'll win the Scudetto, but obviously now we're going to rely on some much-needed help from whoever's playing Milan in the last few matches of the season. But it's one of the things where you're just sitting there just making sure, yeah, you hope for that help, but it's not going to matter unless you're doing your own – the job that you're set to do. So long as we continue winning and stuff, if help comes, great. If not, at least we put up a fight. So – I mean, in general, that kind of – it still gives me hope that we could win another Scudetto this season.
So you're just kind of in the mindset of just kind of getting the results. As far as – is the performance, were you pleased with how you played, or do you think there's still a bit to be done as far as that as well too?
I was fairly pleased with how we played. Obviously, there was the goal from – Udinese that went in, but overall they played much better than they did in the match before against it was Genoa, I do believe. No, wait, Bologna.
Yeah, it's Bologna.
Yeah, so I mean, it was definitely a much better performance, and hopefully they can take whatever they did in this match and carry it through to the last few matches of the season.
All right, Ryan, what are your thoughts on Inter's bounce back win?
Look, nice win. fair enough to them. Listen, I do will talk about the game. The Inter not win the title this year, and Danielle, I know you're going to call me crazy. It's probably the best thing that could happen for Inter because it makes it, it's going to make the board realize that they need to make a change. First of all, they need to make a ton of changes, starting with the manager. I have no clue. He's the ex-Lazio manager, right?
He was. He was there for the last, I don't know, 8-9 years. And I think he only qualified for the Champions League one time. And he won, I think, Coppa Italia. Maybe two. I don't remember.
Gotcha. So, you know, yeah, great. But this is the deal. The managers, you as we've seen with people like Elliot's Barcelona, his favorite Barcelona manager, Enrique, talent can outweigh the manager. So I think, look, I think it's nice that Inter win these games and shows fight, but I think it's going to show the board that they need to go out and make a big splash this summer. And I don't want to hear any more about this rubbish of Lukaku returning back to Milan. First of all, he's been absolutely pitiful this year. I don't think anybody would want him back. He's hot and cold 24/7. I think they should go out and get a proper player like Dybala, personally.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And you know what? And even like the Daily Mail was reporting that even though Dybala was linked to Tottenham, why would he want to go to Tottenham? He'd much rather go to Inter. I think Inter are going to make some big – not only do I think Inter are going to get Dybala this summer, I think if and this is the big if they lose Lautaro Martinez, which has been rumored, I think they become the front runners for Holland. And you may call me crazy for that, but look, this team wants to win, and they want to win now. They're built to win, and I think they're – I think we could – as much as this is going to have LA to chagrin, I think Inter's close to competing for the Champions League for the next 2 or 3 years with the proper signings. Maybe Holland's wishful. But if they hold on to Martinez and Brandon Dybala and maybe a defender or midfielder or two, I think they'll be in the Champions League semifinal next year.
What about – and this can be – what about Christopher Nkunku from Leipzig? If they put down the – I mean, their plan is to sign him for one more season or keep him one more year and then sell him the next year. But do you guys feel like a signing like that would take them over the top as well? Granted, I don't think Martinez is going anywhere. And secondly, I think – you know, Dybala could happen, but would you see that as a potential signing that could tip them a little further?
And Cuckoo?
Yeah, from Leipzig. Yeah,
I think he's one of the most underrated. First of all, speaking of Cuckoo, I think he's going to be the young player of the tournament this year for France. Or shock the world. I think he's very, very, very underrated. I watch a lot of Leipzig. I very much enjoy watching them. Yeah, obviously. I mean, he dominates German football, and the German and Italian leagues are so similar. I think his style of play transfers over there immediately, and he makes an immediate impact.
Yeah, Danielle, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Nkunku would be a great signing for us, not going to lie. And in the long lines of Dybala, apparently the deal is inching ever closer. There's currently a verbal agreement between Morata and Dybala.
Yeah, but I think that can also just be smokes and mirrors. We agreed on personal terms with Riyad Mahrez. He never played for us. So until it becomes sort of evident that it's a done deal, I think it's just smoke and mirrors. And, you know, it just depends. But I think that's a legitimate possibility. But I wouldn't say – I don't think we should go as far as say that it's close. I think it's possible. I would say that. One other thing on this Inter thing, real quick, Brian, you brought up the manager, Inzaghi. You're probably not going to go out and get a manager that already has a full loaded resume for Inter. What would you guys think of Pirlo as potentially replacing Inzaghi with Inter?
No, don't do it.
You don't think so?
No, and what? Sorry, not to be aggressive. This to me would be like Ancelotti going to Inter. I think it would be that absurd, The guy's a the guy. I mean, yeah, he played for Juventus, but the guy's red and black to his core. You know.
Yeah, but he played for Inter when he was a kid. I'm not saying if it's going to happen, but from my football standpoint alone, do you think that would a move like that be the type of move that they should make?
No, not with only 1 year of experience, personally.
So what kind of manager do you think they should look for then if they were to let go of the crybaby?
They need to get a guy. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hang on, I need to laugh at that because, oh yeah, remember don't forget Barella is his grandson. But yeah, if I were to go after a manager, I mean, I would go after obviously some of the style of his football is not the greatest, but I'm thinking Diego Simeone.
What would be your, I don't, that's a tough one because I don't think he wants to leave Atletico.
This is true, but I mean, I would go after someone like of his caliber, if that makes sense.
I think that's fair. We'll run through this one real quick, but Juventus semi struggles against Venezia, bottom of the table. They win because
hang
of
on,
two.
Hang on, I got it for you. I would honestly, and you may call me crazy. I would, man, and I know you're going to hate me for this. I would go after Fonseca.
For the Inter job?
Yeah. Look, and what he's done at Shakhtar has been ridiculous.
Fair.
He had Real Madrid on the ropes. And I know this sounds crazy because I know he wasn't the greatest, couldn't solve all the Roma problems. But I think you have to remember, Elliot, that Roma team was like
not
the greatest Roma team ever.
No, I've never been an anti Fonseca guy. I know some Roma fans are. I've never been that way. We finished fifth and seventh. By the second season it had to be done, but when he got sacked, I publicly said it wasn't his fault. So
yeah.
It's an interesting idea. And I guess who else would be available? Pochettino is another one who could be available as well.
No, you don't want no Pochettino.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept or an idea. We'll see what they do. I don't think they're going to get rid of him, but they're certainly, I think it's an avenue they should explore, especially considering there's been a bit of a drop off with consistency from Conte to Inzaghi or whatever. But, you know, we'll see how that all unfolds.
Here's another one for you. Yeah, really quick. Do you care?
Yeah, we're good.
Here, how about Andre? How about the Marseille guy that led them to Champions League in 2020, Boas, who won a couple doubles with Porto?
That's what's his name? He used to coach Roma. Rui Garcia is the guy who got into the Champions League semifinal in 2020. But another option I can throw in the hat here is the Porto manager, the current one.
Yeah.
Does any of those ideas sound pleasing to you, Danielle? I'm just curious.
I mean, Fonseca wouldn't be a bad one, to be honest with you.
What do you like about that potential?
I mean, he's already done great work with Shakhtar, and obviously, in the beginning, when he was with Roma, it wasn't his fault. It's just at the time, the players and stuff that he had going on, it just wasn't suitable. But when he moved to Shakhtar, things really took off for him. So I think he could bring those winning tangibles to Inter and get them right where they really need to be. And that's making a real good push in the Champions League and also within the domestic league as well.
All right, cool. Just curious. All right, let's move on. Juventus win against Venezia. Two goals from Bonucci. Venezia got back in this game, and then Bonucci scored with 15 minutes remaining. Juve win again. Obviously, I think Champions League is pretty much covered for them. I don't see any of the other teams really being able to do that. Daniel, what are your thoughts on this 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 victory for them.
I mean, this was to be expected. It's Juventus going against a team that's in the at the exact bottom of the table. So, I mean, you wouldn't expect them to go out and lose this match. You expect them to just give them, just maybe get, allow them one consolation goal and that's it. But other than that, it's just total domination. And that's continue, and it's just classic Juventus in this match. So there's really not a lot of key takeaways, with the exception that they were just going up against a team that was at the clear bottom of the table.
They were 15 minutes away from not winning this game. You do realize that, right? Does that not concern you at all? And I mean, I know the season's almost over, but is that not a concerning factor for you?
I mean, with the how they start this season, you do get matches like this every once in a while, so it really doesn't concern me that much.
That's fair. I semi-agree. I think they were always going to get that second goal. I give credit to Valencia for putting up a fight and doing what they can, but obviously they rotate a squad a bit, a lot of young players in there that kind of contributed. So I wouldn't have expected them to just go crazy on them. But no, I'm in the same boat. What are your thoughts on Juventus, Ryan?
Look, I still don't understand the Allegri hire.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one does.
No one does, and I understand that. This ain't the same Rager that beat Barcelona in the Champions League. Look, it's starting to get absurd now. Bonucci, look, Juventus legend, two big goals, but what did you think? It's time to move on. Like, Juventus just wants to think about the past. They're starting to look like Arsenal under Wenger. Those last 2 years. No, seriously.
A little bit.
Allegri's going to come in. He's going to get them top four. They're going to bring in some decent players. That's all they're good for. They are miles away from Milan and Inter. Miles.
You think so?
Yes, and it's not even close. They are miles away from them.
Even with the additions they made in January with Vladovic and Zakaria, you don't think that puts them a little closer?
They're still miles away. Okay, they were 10 miles away. Now they're 9 miles. They need a total overhaul. How many players over 30 do they have in the roster? Like, seriously.
Let's see. Cordardo is over 30. Vinucci, Chiellini's over 30. So that's three right there. Morata, I think, is at 30. Let's see. Who else do they have? Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of older guys on this team, and that's not including the bench they have with so many different pieces as well. So, no, I get what you're saying. Obviously,
look, I love Weston McKennie, and I think this is the coolest thing that he's playing for them. But to me, and I'm glad they handled him, but to me, Allegri's handling of the ball has been an absolute joke. He's not happy there. We can all tell.
Real quick. I don't mean to interrupt. Do you remember the game? I don't remember which game it was, but Dybala had scored a goal and he looked to the press box. That I think completely captures what Dybala's feeling about Juventus has been, regardless if he has the armband or not.
Yeah, no, it's been a debacle. Look, Dybala's a top 25 player in the world still. I mean, I know he's not anywhere near his 2019-2020 form when he should have had more consideration for the Ballon d'Or. But he's a top 25 player in the world. Any team, almost any squad would take him over. Would take him as an attacking midfielder over any of their options.
Probably
three or four clubs wouldn't, and that's to be expected. But the rest of the clubs in the world would take him. So I mean, it's been a joke. I mean, and you know, honestly, if he goes to Inter, fair enough to him. You know,
Agreed. And I think it just depends how much affection he has for Juventus, not this season, but in general. So if he really has a unique relationship with that club, he will not go to Inter. But if he has a relationship that he doesn't mind, you know, betraying, then I think he could go there. Just kind of how Hakan Kanala, who went from AC Milan to Inter, like it was no big deal.
Look, there's no such thing as relationships anymore. I'm going to tell you why. 2001, Sol Campbell destroyed that forever.
No, 100%. I'm not saying that that he would, that it's out of the question that he would betray, but if he has sort of a special relationship with Juventus, et cetera, because there's some players who will not go to certain teams. I just don't know enough about what Dybala thinks about Juventus for whether or not he would make that. But I would guess that that's where he goes. I don't think it's the best fit. I think it's close to the best fit, but I doubt he's leaving the country. And if they get Dybala, fuck. I mean, it's over next season. And again, his biggest issue is availability. When he's not available a lot because he's always getting injured. But when he is available, he's the best player on that team. So obviously, there's a lot to unpack here because of Allegri. I don't understand it, and hopefully they kind of look for a solution there. But I guess I kind of agree that Juventus are a bit separated from AC Milan and Inter. I'd say mostly Inter. But okay, go ahead.
Sorry, Daniel and Elliot, but I do have to make one more point. It still baffles me that they fired Sarri. The guy won you the league. Pretty convincing fashion, I might add.
And I mean, he is again. No, I mean, I'm not gonna say no disrespect. All disrespect to Lazio, but Sarri is winning there. Again, I do think they'll not. I don't think it's getting finished fifth, top five. I think they'll get six, and I think they'll get in the Europa League again. But what he is doing with two great players and a bunch of average ones is actually pretty impressive, considering, the squad that they have. I think, anyways. Daniel, what are your thoughts on all of this?
I mean, yeah, with the Allegri situation, it's like it never made sense to begin with. We've all discussed this at the start of the season. In speaking of Dybala, I figured out the answer. Wrap him up in bubble wrap before he goes out on the pitch. But yeah, I mean, it does set up for the rest of would set Inter up for next season. I mean, there is just a lot to unpack with this in general. I mean, then you put the Sarri with Lazio. I mean, with the team that he's given, he's done a great amount of work with what he has been given. I mean, this, like I said, this season, with how each team has its own unique strategy, is just amazing.
As far as what Ryan was saying about Juventus as a whole, do you agree with the distance between yourself and Juventus, or do you think it's closer? Because it's okay if you don't feel the same way. I'm just curious what your thought on the gap that Ryan was describing there.
I mean, I think there's a great deal of distance just because Inter lately has been trying to go for – obviously, Inter has had an aging squad for the past few years, and now they're starting to, like, upgrade with younger talent and trying to get them into the starting lineups when possible. Obviously, you still have your core pieces that are going to be still playing, but with Juventus having players over 30, and I give a salute to people over players over 30 because I am over 30 myself, so salute. But yeah, I mean, in regards to football, you need to be starting to replace your talent with younger people because you're not going to get any younger. So I mean, it's time that they really focus on what the players that are young and start building around so they can start building in the future as well.
Okay, one more thing on this before I move on. I want to circle back to Inter just briefly. Obviously, Skriniar and Bastoni, you got a lot of young players. De Vrij is getting on the older side as well. How does it feel? Because obviously you had a plan of who you're going to replace him with. Now that option is no longer on the table, with Matthias Ginter going to Freiburg now for free, that option not being available to you anymore, how do you feel about that? And do you think Inter should prioritize another defender for next season?
I mean, after a while, to be honest with you, there was not the news story kind of like fizzled out like months ago, not going to lie. And this was like a moot point. Like 3 or 4 months ago when the news said that Mönchengladbach were not interested in selling him to Inter, or there wasn't
he wasn't going to be sold because he's running out of contract. But according to the reports, Bayern's Premier League teams, Roma, Milan also were all interested in him. So there wasn't possibility there. So now that that's no longer in the picture, do you think it'd be smart to prioritize another defender for the summer, or do you think there's other needs that are more important?
I think at this point, due to losing out on Ginter, I would definitely work on trying to solidify a new defender just so we can start building up the bench in that area, because it's unclear of what's going to happen to Skriniar and De Vrij at the end of the season. Obviously, there's links with both of them going to possibly England, so hopefully we figure out something to fill that void.
Yeah, Skriniar's not going anywhere. De Vrij, I think, could, though. Well, we'll see. All right, let's circle back to the other team in Milan real quickly before we talk about teams that are not going to be winning titles in the next year. I kind of just dissed myself there, but that's all right. AC Milan, Fiorentina. This was a huge game. Fiorentina, a couple weeks ago, was just flying high. They've lost a whole bunch of games in a row, but they still have a solid squad. They probably look the better team between these two going into in the game itself. But a little luck with a bad pass from the goalkeeper. Rafael Leão tucks it in back of the net. And, Milan remain on top of the pile. What are we thinking about this? Whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Danielle, you go ahead.
Ashley, I'll allow you to take the floor first.
All right. First of all, I was not impressed with Milan. I don't think you were either. Either of you were. Can I assume that?
Nope. I thought it was a terrible performance.
But they got the win, and that's all that matters when you're in a title race. Because, look, they're not going to catch it. Inter on goal differential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they perform like this weekend, though, and if they perform like this weekend against Verona, they're not winning the title. I mean, period.
Yeah.
They got away with one.
What do you think? What do you think went wrong? Do you think it's the pressure, or do you think it was just a bad day at the office?
I think Pioli got the tactics completely wrong. I think it was just a bad day at the office. Now, they could come out and win 4-0. This Sunday. Don't get me wrong, Pioli's done a phenomenal job since he's taken over. But he got the tactics all wrong. I think it was a combination of tactics and a bad day at the office. But, I mean, nobody cares how you do it as long as you win.
Yeah. I mean, they do need to be thanking their lucky chickens or whatever you want to call it. With that pass, though, I mean, at the end, it was going toward as 0-0. And Leão just happens to be at the right place at the right time and scores. And I think, when this season is over, there's going to be – if AC Milan wins a league, there will be significant moments that will define the entire season. It will be Tonali's goal at the end of the Lazio game to win it. It will be the mistake by Radu in the Inter game. It will be this goal and potentially the Scamacca goal in the Inter game at the beginning of the new year. So this, they can play. They play crap. They're awful. I thought it was wrong. I thought they handled themselves really poorly throughout the match. Fiorentina probably could have scored a few times. If Vladovic was still there, they probably would have won this game. But at the end, you take advantage of those opportunities. You're given a gift. You cash in on it. And
oh yeah,
this could be...
the keeper made an absolute howler.
And it's funny because he's a good keeper. If a neutral watches this game, you're probably thinking this keeper's terrible. But he's a very consistent keeper, which is why it's kind of surprising that he made that sort of mistake. But they do get the points. They cash in on the situation. Obviously, it's good for Milan. They keep winning. And the pressure is going to continue to mount on Inter. But again, this wasn't a great performance. Verona is not going to be an easy game. Anton Barak is... spoiler alert, is in my team in the season. He's one of the best midfielders in the league this year. He was spectacular in the game last weekend. It's not an easy situation to go into. Milan has not always done well against Verona in the last couple of years, so they needed to engage that energy that they had in the Lazio game rest of the season for them to sort of take themselves to the top and stay there. Danielle, what are your thoughts on all of this Milan stuff?
I mean, I think the pressure of the end of the season is starting to hit them a little bit too. Obviously, it was probably just another bad day at the office. The tactics were not all where they are normally at. But, I mean, it is the last three matches, and every point matters at this point. And obviously, we talked about those different key moments that could see one of the Milan teams winning this two title while the other one goes home in second place. But, I mean, still, I wouldn't be in second place, not going to lie. But I want a title. But, I mean, in general, if they perform like this against Verona, I think, yeah, Verona get the upper hand because Verona has been playing very well this season. And so if they perform like this, like they did over the weekend, it could be a pivotal role in how the rest of the season plays out.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, let's talk about Roma, Bologna, real quick. I've been on record here. I did not approve of the lineup that Mourinho put out. Again, I'm 100% behind Mourinho, but I thought not trying to sabotage, but potentially dropping points in a game like this. They just beat you guys a couple days earlier. This was not going to be an easy situation to deal with. I thought the tactics were fine. It was just the team selection was a bit off. Although I did, you know, again, I would have loved to win this game, and I think we had opportunities to do so. Had we brought on our first team players a little earlier in the game, maybe would have been able to do it. We still own the head-to-head, so we remain in our spot. But it wasn't an ideal performance for me. There's only a few positives you can take from the Roma side. Rui Patricio, was outstanding, making really key saves late in that game. And then obviously Zaniolo showing his unselfishness a couple of different times. You're starting to see the progression with him. But, you know, hats off to Bologna. They played an outstanding performance, which makes me think something about them that we'll get into. But I wasn't pleased with it in various ways, but at least we didn't lose the game. Anyone else want to chime in? You can go ahead.
You know, you can be a lot more angry than what you are. I'm not telling you how to feel emotionally. I know, you know what I mean? But come on, man. You guys only had 42% ball possession.
Yeah, but we also almost scored a couple of times too. And if I don't know, I know I get it. I was more angry then. Now, it's what softened it for me was the fact that we're still in fifth place. No, but it was bad. I just don't. Again, I probably should take the Conference League a little more seriously.
Yeah, you should now.
I should. I'm not worried about finishing outside of the top five, but at the same time, I think we should have prioritized ourselves a little better. There's no reason. Okay, I'm in favor of benching Pellegrini because he's had injury problems in the past. I'm okay with benching Karsdorp because he's had injury problems in the past. But there's no real reason for us not to start Abraham next to Zaniolo. That one I just don't get. And with all the other options that we have in the defensive positions, there's not a real reason that we should have started Maitland-Niles, who's barely got any game time the last couple just for a while. And Bologna is a good team. I just didn't think we took it seriously enough. And that's my big axe to grind against that particular performance is it didn't feel like we took it as seriously as we should have. They beat us in the first game of this in the previous game. So we should have taken it much more seriously. So yeah, it's been a couple of days, but in the moment I was not pleased with a various amounts of this game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Obviously, the tactics weren't all there, but still, I mean, Bologna have been performing decent this season as well. So, I mean, it could have gone either way based on those tactics alone, that it was going to either be Bologna or Roma getting the win. But obviously, you can't be mad with the point. At least you got a point off of them, unlike us who couldn't get a single thing done. But, you know, but I mean, yeah, it just wasn't your day.
Yeah. I want to ask, just ask the room one thing about Bologna real quick. And again, I'm not trying to flip my sort of the performance on them at all. They played well. But my question is, why are they not in chasing, at least chasing Europe? If you think of the players that they have, you know, Arnautović, who used to play with West Ham and Stoke, he's having a career year. You have Moussa Baro, one of the most underrated players in the league, versatile, can play mutually in any position. Rafael Soriano, Dominguez, Hickey, and obviously their goalkeepers up to stuff. And they have a lot of good players from top to bottom. So I haven't figured it out. But what do you think is stopping them from taking that next step? Because I think this Bologna team, you know, we talk about Torino and Fiorentina and the seasons they have had. I think Bologna, player for player, is more talented than both of those teams. Yet they are, I think, 9 points from a European spot. And they're in, I think, 13th place. This is a team, for me, that should be finishing in the top 10, and they're just not doing it. And again, if you don't have an answer, you don't have an answer, but why do you think that they are not? They're not. Their table position isn't reflecting their team more than it should.
Because they lost to Cagliari in Torino, and they've had some pretty poor losses. Venezia, but once again, it shows you that just the quality of Serie A.
I mean, do you think that's what it is? Loan. Yeah. You don't think there's any sort of change that needs to be made?
Well, I mean, and you know, I hate to say this because the manager's had a good story. He seems like a good guy. But just because you're a good guy and you had a good story doesn't mean that, you know, you're fit to manage top echelon players. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
The guy flopped at Milan. Like, absolutely flopped. Flopped at Serbia. Flopped at Torino. Only lasted, a month at Sporting Portugal. You know, sometimes, and I hate to say this, sometimes it's just time to move on. And yeah, the story's phenomenal. The story's phenomenal, but, you know.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but it's kind of what I'm thinking, because that first season he takes them from 19th to 10th, and they have the squad. The players have gotten better every year since, and now I'm just thinking, okay, I'm looking at the squad, and it's good. It's very good, actually. It's what Fiorentina is doing. It's what Torino is doing. They should be on the door of Europe, at least the Conference League, and they're not doing it. And they got some pretty poor losses when they shouldn't. You know, their striker has having the best year of his career. Again, 13 goals isn't great. I mean, he's not had an amazing career, but still, 13 goals, you know, it's pretty productive from him. So I'm kind of with you on that sentiment. Daniel, what are your thoughts on this situation at Bologna?
I mean, Bologna are a really good team, but I think it's just that they have a hard time maintaining a very consistent routine of, like, adapting to different team situations and utilizing the players that they do have. So, I mean, if you start utilizing them to their fullest potential and they work on solidifying a consistent routine of getting the point, I think they'll be better off. But right now, they just haven't found that spark that will see them possibly push for the European spots in the next coming seasons.
Could you imagine them with Sarri?
Oh, God, it'd be a joke. They'd be like six right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not like, they should not have more losses than wins this year. That's my biggest problem with them. If they were, 500, if their win percentage this year was closer to 50%, I'd be okay with it. But they're 10-4. They have 10 wins, 14 losses. Yeah. I don't think that's good enough.
There's two solutions to this. Number one, they're going to lose all their great players and they're going to get relegated. Number two, they got to change a manager. Because all the names I listed, there are teams in Italy, England, and Germany that would like some of those players. And a lot of them stay put because of the just because. And when they start leaving, the team is going to go the wrong way. If you get the right manager into this situation right here, right now, next season, whatever, they're going to start climbing the table. So it's either they make that decision, they climb the table, or they make an emotional decision and watch this team tank to the bottom of the league next year. Because if you can't win with these players, I don't think he can win at all. So anyway, it was just a thought that crawled into my head. All right. Torino, top 10 team this season, another win against Empoli. They don't have a loss in the last five. Ivan Juric is challenging Vincenzo Italiano for manager of the season, I think. I think it's becoming a real conversation now, considering what he did with Verona the last 2 years and now doing this with Torino, another win. I think it's a spectacular, but what do you guys think?
Danielle, 4 years.
Oh, one more thing. Before anyone to also, today is the 74th anniversary of Gran Torino. So I just want to point that out. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, Torino has been performing as good as well. I mean, they're in the top 10 right now. I mean, this is a team that over the past few seasons had kind of struggled, and they were kind of close to near the relegation zone. And just seeing them kind of start working and getting back into those winning tangibles is amazing to see. It's unsure of what I think. The sad thing is to see Bilotti go, which has been their core piece. But, I mean, this is a team that Bologna should be aspiring to be.
Exactly.
They know how to get the best out of what they do have. So this is a team that Bologna really should be looking up to. Like, okay, we may not have the best players. We may only have one key player for all I know. But somehow they're going out and working with what they do have and getting the results. But if things do continue to get better for Torino, who knows, maybe they go and spend a little bit of money this season. It obviously won't be a lot compared to the bigger clubs, but they can start building a piece by piece and getting what they can to possibly push for those European spots. So this is, like I said, Bologna, you should be taking notes from a team that is just like you. I mean, but overall, and still to those lives lost over 70 years ago in the Grande Torino disaster during this times, but that's all I got to say right now.
Yeah. The thing is, I think they're very similar, but only one of them has Ivan Juric. And I think that's the difference. This team is not good. They got good players. Bilotti is a good player, but he's probably the most inconsistent striker in Serie A the last half decade. Secondly, you're going to take it. I'm almost certain that Inter are taking Brendan from Torino, a.k.a. the Bulldozer. So they're going to have to spend a bit just because I think they're going to lose some pieces. Who knows? Bilotti might go to Toronto. I know they're after him and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, this manager is special. He could put me up top and finish in 10th. So I think it's an extraordinary thing. Ryan, what are you thinking on this?
Didn't he finish 10th with Verona last year?
He finished 9th with Verona 2 years ago, 10th the year before that, and got them promoted the year before that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's done a fantastic job. Look, they were almost relegated last year. Torino. Go from 17th to 10th. With 12 wins on the season is an impressive job. I'm not going to go out of my way and say he's like an elite manager or anything, but look, the problem with these small clubs like Torino, and history-wise, they're massive. I'm not saying they're small, but in the terms of football nowadays, they're small. I think Juric First of all, I'd take him as the U.S. manager at a heartbeat. But yeah. More selfishly, I hope he stays. I'm kind of interested to see what happens because, like you said, they're not good. But I wouldn't be surprised if they push for a conference league spot next year.
I think it's very possible. I mean, like I said, the team isn't very good, and he's winning. And he's won with Verona the last 2 years. And, you know, I'm not going to say that he's an elite manager to the level of the first tier. But for a manager at this level of job, I think he's one of the best in the world at it. You know, and they're probably not going to make a Europe spot, but I'd be wary about Verona Milan next week because of, he's not there anymore, but I'd be wary of teams late in the season who have to play Torino because I think they're tough to play. You can beat them. You can, but they're not an easy match for anybody. And their players aren't very good, which is a little, it's weird. But just it's because the so much influence that he has over that team, and I think he's one of the most fascinating managers in the league, in my opinion. All right, Lazio won a 7-goal thriller this weekend. Lazari getting a late winner for Lazio, keeping the pressure on Roma. Lazio get a late win, which is good for them. What do you guys think? Thoughts on their 4-3 victory over Spezia?
Let's be honest here. Spezia won by a lot more. But you know, that's what once again makes Serie A exciting. I actually watched this whole game, and I'm not a Lazio guy. I was watching it for them, hoping for them to lose. Obviously.
Same.
For a while, it looked like they were well on their way to losing. But no, I mean, look, Gerald Mobley is the most flawless penalty taker in the world. Maybe more than Ronaldo. It's ridiculous. It just shows how beautiful Sarri ball is, though, when it's played right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're drawing penalties, they're forcing own goals, they're scoring late winners. I mean, look, it comes as no surprise to me. I hate saying this. If Lazio made the Champions League next year, it would not surprise me at all if they were in a fight for the top four.
Yeah. No, I get that completely. I think and again, Sarri's doing a great job there because Mobley, Savage, the rest of the team is just they're okay. They're not amazing, they're not terrible, but it's one of those things and Mobley obviously is the man up front and continues to perform for them. And I don't know, maybe one day we'll have a conversation with him and Nesta of who's the greatest Lazio player ever. I can't envision a world that Nesta's not always going to be their GOAT, but if Immobile continues to do this for another 3-4 seasons, we could be having that conversation at some point. Yeah. Danielle, what are your thoughts on Lazio's crazy win against Spezia?
I mean, it is Spezia after all. I mean, they've been doing decent, but you kind of expect this out of Lazio doing what is needed to get the job done. And this was a classic story of that.
All right, cool. All right, Napoli put 6 on Sassuolo. Again, I was surprised by the margin of victory. I don't have really much to say about this other than Napoli, it's too little too late. They walked out of the title race. And, yeah, good win, but it doesn't mean much anymore.
Yep. Very good, Napoli. Go enjoy your third place trophy. Come back with you can actually, you know, not choke under pressure.
The funny thing is, they might not even get a fourth place trophy. They're only 1 point in front of Juventus. Danielle, you probably don't have much to say, but any sort of thoughts on the 6 they scored?
Yeah, congratulations on scoring 6, but you exited the title race 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, thanks
Wait,
to Stefano.
Wait, 3 weeks ago, the time go?
No, because 3 weeks ago was when the El Shaarawy equalizer.
That's right.
We set up the exit.
And still, right. Thank you.
And lastly, Cagliari skid continues. Verona were better. They handled themselves. Anton Barg with a performance. They continue to play well, and Cagliari continues to be begging for relegation. They've been in the league a long time. It does seem that, you know, that they could be exiting soon, especially the form of the team that's chasing them right now.
I mean, it's cruel and all, but yeah. Goodbye. Go away. Sorry.
Wow. No chill. No chill.
I'm ruthless tonight. I'm sorry.
It's hard. Okay. I think.
It's the great thing about Italian football.
Yeah, agreed. I think anything can happen.
They're actually Champions League races, and they're actually relegation races. So, I mean,
yeah, you know. It's just special. I nothing against Calgary. I have a national team player that plays for them that I've been begging to leave so he'd go to a bigger club. But and so I kind of part of me wanted them to stay in the league, but given the Salentina history maker that's on the cards potentially. I hope they beat Venezia on tomorrow, and I hope the Calgary loses to them on the weekend. It's nothing personal. It's just I want to see the great escape because they've been out of the Serie A for like 100 years. So I think, I have the same kind of a vibe. Danielle, what are your thoughts? I'm predicting this similar.
I mean, Cagliari, just like Ryan said, get out of here. We don't want you anymore for at least a while. But, yeah, I want the great escape to happen. And Cagliari has had a long history in here. So we'll just see what happens. And we'll hope that Salentina make it and survive.
Yep. They survive. They're going to be into another year of survival next year, but just for this year, I really hope they survive. All right, Ryan, I'm going to hand it over to you to handle the Champions League mayhem.
Well, football was ruined on Tuesday. Look, Villarreal gave it all they could, and it was a special run. Props to my Unai Emery, our former manager. Don't miss you, by the way, but he had a hell of a run, but not enough to get past Liverpool. Liverpool ended up winning 3-2. Fabinho, Diaz, Mane, same old boringness. Same old boring style of Jurgen Klopp football where they see a couple little passes and crosses. So, unfortunately, Liverpool's in the final. Elliot, what are your thoughts?
I was hoping and praying for Andrew Robertson 2.0 after idiotic commentator Jason Cundy called Villarreal fans a disgrace. Or performance as a disgrace in the first leg when they had 3,000 fans in the stands cheering on their team and having a great time. So I hoped maybe those comments would see a little mano a mano like we did with Atletico versus Liverpool back in a couple years ago. But so they had that 2-0 lead. I'm like, here it comes. But then Liverpool's quality just kind of went away. I feel a little sad because Villarreal will not be in the Champions League next year. And I don't know if they might make the Europa League, but I don't think they're going to make that. So they'll be in the Conference League next year. And again, nothing against the Conference League, but I think a team like Villarreal and the team that they have should be doing better in the league first and foremost. But it's a shame to see them make the semifinal and not even be in the Europa League next year. So Liverpool makes another final. Congratulations, whatever. But I do want to bring to attention that Jurgen Klopp has made some finals for Liverpool. He's won the League Cup. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Prem, and he's been to a couple other finals too. But I also want to recognize that he's lost way more finals than he's won. And if he loses the Champions League final, it will be his eighth loss. I think eighth finals loss. So, this whole thing about obviously he's done well and got Liverpool finals. This whole thing that he is the clutch master P or whatever you want to call him doesn't have a lot of traction since he's lost more than he's won. But congratulations, get to another final, and so on and so forth. That's really all I have to say.
Danielle, what do you have to say?
I mean, same thing. Congratulations on making it to another final. I mean, you guys definitely played well, but you cannot discount Villarreal. They put on a hell of a performance to get to this NBA. At least they made it to a semifinal, and like Elliot just stated, it's sad that they won't be in it next year. But the story that they did tell this season is going to go down in the record books because Villarreal, we had them going out a while ago, but they made it to the semifinals and exceeding our expectations.
Yeah, no, 100%. I remember when you said that the only way Villarreal would beat Bayern is if they it's in a, on a neutral site. But, you know, I was wrong too, in fairness. I thought Bayern was going to rip them to shreds as well. But I think the incredible – that's a cool thing about this. They beat Juventus, they beat Bayern, and they entertained themselves of possible beating Liverpool, but it just didn't happen.
All right, so – this whole entire afternoon, you know, I was looking at my phone, checking the score during work. And every 30 seconds, I was looking down. Oh, hell. Oh, hell. Oh, hell. And then it went to the 89th minute, and I almost went outside and screamed.
Thinking, oh, hell again.
And then I looked down. Rodrigo scores. I'm like, okay. I looked at the highlight.
Benzema, great crossing. I'm like, too little, too late, though. Then literally 30 seconds later, he scores again on the most magnificent header I've ever seen. Honestly, probably under the circumstances, the greatest goal in football history. And this is more because I don't want to see an all-English final. So I am over-exaggerating. And then Benzema absolutely buries a penalty. Pep fails miserably again at Man City. I know, Elliot, I know you're a Pep guy, and I'm sorry. But to see him fail, I hope he never wins the Champions League at Man City, truthfully. And then one of the greatest managers of all time, the Italian Ancelotti. Do you think Ancelotti's finally going to get the respect he deserves?
Yeah, I mean, he has to. There's not another way around it because he's won three Champions League finals. This is his fourth. He's won the league in every country in the top four leagues. So he's got to. I mean – I don't really see the argument of why he would not be respected for the job he has done in all of the AC Milan with Real Madrid, obviously with PSG he was good there, and obviously Chelsea as well. So I mean he's done everything he's been asked to do. He came into this situation. There was a lot of criticism of him being rehired as Real Madrid manager, and it's panned out magnificently. And the league titles, the amount of league titles he doesn't have a ton of them in total, but he's got several, a good amount. I don't think that should be held against him either. Yeah, I think he deserves respect because he's earned it. And obviously the players he have are fantastic, but, you know, Pep sort of makes mistakes again. And yes, Pep will go down as one of the greatest managers ever. But he's the only time he's won the Champions League is when he had the greatest team in football history. So taking everything into account of all of that, I think you could argue several players, people, especially in crucial moments, are more reliable than Pep. Obviously, I don't think Klopp is a part of that because I think he's also had shortcomings in finals and stuff. But I just don't see a scenario where Pep would have won the Champions League with Porto or Inter Milan. He had Bayern, he's had Man City for ages, and again, I just think there's something in their DNA that they can't win this competition, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. So who's going to win the final?
I hope Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid, but also Liverpool lost to Real Madrid a few years ago in Klopp's first Champions League final with Liverpool. That could play into the mental part of the Champions League final, but Real Madrid were outplayed tonight. They were outplayed in the first leg. They scored three goals in both games when they were not the better team. So the fact that they're able to do that and they have that winning mentality in every situation, they know what to do and they know how to do it. Modric, Cruz, Benzema, all these, and they have a lot of other players who've won the Champions League. But, I do think Real Madrid will win. We'll have to see what happens. I think it's going to be a good final, and I do hope Real Madrid wins, and I think Benzema will play key in that. And also, I don't think we should get more respect for Rodrigo and what he has done in this competition. And I think we just generally speaking, he needs to get a little more praise for what he does for Real Madrid. Because remember, he scores that goal in the Chelsea game that put them through. or that sent it to extra time. I don't remember what it was. And then he scores two tonight in the most crucial moment. And he was very influential in many of the group games that put them through as well. So I think he deserves some flowers as well as Vinicius Jr., but we always compliment him. I think Rodrigo's time is to be respected as well. And I think I do think Real Madrid will win the final, but easier said than done.
Danielle, what do you think?
I mean, I was fortunate enough to get out of work a little bit earlier than normal, so I was able to watch this match, and, like, Real Madrid, when I first saw the Man City goal, I'm like, oh no, not this again. And then in the, like, 90th, like, minute, you had Real Madrid scoring and stuff, and it was like, okay, we're finally getting extra time. I've literally told them, like, please let it be a penalty shootout, please let it be a penalty shootout, but no penalty shootouts this year for me, probably. So, I mean, then, of course, you had extra time, Benzema burying the penalty, and I'm like, thank you, Real Madrid, from sparing us an English final. But I would really hope Real Madrid wins, but obviously with Liverpool, from top to bottom, are the better team. But, I mean, if Real Madrid wins this, I would say this helps the Benzema being more influential to Real Madrid than Cristiano Ronaldo. And me and Elliot had this discussion, I do believe, 2 or 3 episodes ago.
Just to clarify... Not saying like he's better for Real Madrid. What we mean is iconically more. I don't even know the word is, but more celebrated for this era and him staying and being able to do what he does and stuff. I just want to clarify because some idiot's gonna say, "Call me an," you know, whatever. I just wanted to make that real clear. We're not suggesting that he's a better player than Ronaldo because that's clearly ridiculous. Just more important. I guess in this second era or whatever you want to say.
All right, Elliot, I'm gonna hand it back over to you.
All right, let's see. I really don't have anything else. Salernitana play Valencia tomorrow. I'm hoping that they beat them and get out of the relegation zone. And we should have a great Champions League final. I hope Roma beat Leicester and make the Conference League final. And I hope Leipzig and Frankfurt meet in all German Europa League final. I guess that's it. The Serie A title will have more intrigue in the coming days and weeks and stuff. And obviously the Champions League race in Germany. We'll have some more storylines on that as well. But, thank you for listening, and see you later.